Such easy words to sing, I surrender all. I trust that is our heart's desire this morning as we come together to worship and as we now come together to study God's Word. It's our privilege this morning to have Paul Connor with us. He is the state representative for the Pennsylvania Association of Regular Baptist Churches. And we are a fellowshipping church in that association. And so we're glad to have Paul with us this morning. He was here for our Sunday school hour. We look forward now to our time together this morning here in our worship service. So, Paul, you come and open God's word for us. We are thankful that you're able to be here with us. We trust that the Lord will bless us together.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Boy, this is a day the Lord hath made, even though we got up an hour earlier. Amen. It is a joy to be back with you. It's been quite a while, and we are may not be here, but you've been in our thoughts and our prayers, and I thank you for your praying for us, and especially for my wife, Judy. She is progressing and healing from the cancer surgery and the chemotherapy, and we are so thankful for what God has done. She's a tremendous blessing to me. And even through all of the difficulties that she has faced, she has been so faithful. And on top of all of that, she still had to put up with me. So she needs prayer even more so. And thank you for that. Joy to be here with you. I'd like to share some things with you this morning. By the way, how many of you have ever struggled with keeping your hands clean? Can I see your hands? How many of you enjoy dirty hands? It's a problem always. I am constantly washing my hands. My wife told me that if I'm not careful, I'm going to turn into a Howard Hughes. But I like to keep my hands clean. And it's a struggle. When I was a young boy, my brother and I would love to race our boat up and down the lake to the intensity of we finally blew the engine up. Had to be towed back to the dock. My dad was there to greet us. And he commenced then to give us some lessons on mechanical things. And we rebuilt the whole engine. And in rebuilding it, it was really neat. We got to know what makes an engine work. And by the time we got done rebuilding it, we were just as greasy and grimy as one can get. And I was kind of proud of all of it. I mean, look, Dad. And my brother and I, we went back into the house, and the inspector general was there at the door. And she said, "You go right back out there and you tell your father you've got to wash your hands." Well, there's only one kind of soap that can get your hands clean when they're that filthy with all that oil and grease and grime. And there was a commercial years ago, back in 1733, long time ago. There was a commercial. And the commercial said there's only one kind of soap that can get these hands clean. It's lava soap, yes, lava soap. And lava soap simply is sand with some suds in it. And it does the work. Now, some of you millennialists have no idea what I just said, but dirty hands are an issue, and we all struggle with them. By the way, how many of you fill your cars with gas yourself? You realize they have discovered that one of the filthiest things on earth is the handle to that gas pump you just handled. So when you go out after the service, don't extend your hand, just nod. Filthy hands are an issue. In fact, in Scripture, there is a dealing with that as well. Turn in the book of Ezekiel with me, chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. It kind of touches on this issue of clean hands. Ezekiel chapter 3. And I draw your attention to verse 17 and following. Tremendous book, powerful prophetic book, deals much with what is to take place with Israel, and some awesome passages. One of my favorite is the Valley of Dry Bones. I love that. But here in chapter 3, we find an issue where we see God's burden. And he singles out the prophet Ezekiel, and he gives him an assignment, a job assignment. And he says in verse 17, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning." Obviously, the people of Israel had strayed and were rebellious, and God is burdened to see that change, to be have them turn around. And so he wants to have some kind of a warning. And so he tells Ezekiel, "I want you to take my word, and I want you to warn as a watchman." A watchman is quite a unique task. That's an individual that's placed in a position cautioning the dangers that are there. In this particular situation, God places Ezekiel as a watchman looking to those that need to be warned. Pretty simple, pretty basic. But here he says, I want you to warn them for me. So then verse 18 kind of gives an example of what's going to take place. And so God says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest not to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." His blood will I require at thine hand. There is a assignment. There is a work task that's before Ezekiel, and he is saying, "I want you to warn them. But if you do not warn them, there is a consequence." You see, there's a responsibility and an accountability. And in so doing, I want you to realize his blood will be on your hands. That's devastating. That's horrible. That if I fail to warn as a watchman, God says to Ezekiel, blood's on your hands. There is a serious message from God that he indeed wants us to do what he intends for us to do. But then verse 19 says this, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You've done what I've asked you to do. There is that performing of what has been required, and because you've done as I've asked, there will not be blood on your hands. That wicked person, and in their wickedness, they will die. But you've done all you could do. That kind of helps us to realize, no matter whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that there is a burden that God is trying to share, and that is sin. Ever since Genesis, there is sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all come to that point where we recognize, at least most do, that we are sinners. In this process, there are three things I'd like to point out to you. All preachers like to say that, three things. And then people, being mathematicians, start marking them off. This is the first one. And it is very, very simple, but very basic, and that is, there's a responsibility to respond. You see, with Ezekiel, God told him, I want you to be a watchman. When he gave him that job, that task to perform, it was required of him then to respond and do what that was necessary to do. Now, if you will turn over to the New Testament, and we'll just simply review. For most of you, this is total review, but I'd like to point out to you something that is very, very important. We come to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we come to that section which we call the Great Commission. And something is said there that gives us the basis for everything that is yet to follow. And I draw your attention to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Christ has already gone to the cross. Christ has given his life. He has shed that blood. He has declared, "It is finished." And now he is coming to that point where he addresses those that will follow after him. And he declares this in verse 18. All, and Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me. The authority as the Son of God is being declared that for whatever is yet to take place, whatever will fall into our responsibilities, we go with the power of God. All power is given to me in heaven, and all power is given to me in earth. This is our Savior, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me. Now, because all power is given to him in heaven and in earth, then he goes ahead and he gives us a command, a direction. Much like Ezekiel, now we who are believers, we who have accepted Christ as our Savior, now we have a direction. And so we are to, verse very clearly says in 19, go ye. Now, I don't know if your Bible actually says ye, but that's the King's English rough translation. Usens. All of us who know Christ, ye, everyone in this room that knows Christ as your Savior. By the way, may I see your hands so I know who I'm talking to when I say ye? Some of you are still suffering with daylight savings time. Ye, go ye, that's us, go ye. and he declares, because of the power in heaven and because of the power on earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When I was young, my father was trying to teach me how to pray. We were in a Roman Catholic home, and he was trying to help me to memorize the prayers. And he says, now, Paul, when you come to the end of a prayer, you always say, amen. For most of my life, until I became born again, I thought amen meant the end. Apparently, some of you thought that too. But amen does not mean the end. Amen says, so be it. This is truth. And so this declaration that he is going to be with us, he's not only going to send us, go ye, remember, Austin's, into the world. And I will go with you. I will be with you always. So sometimes when we're at work, Brother Lloyd was talking about watching our tongue. Sometimes when we're at work, we may get the idea it's just us, just me. But it doesn't matter where God places us, in employment or school or wherever. God is with us. I am with you sometimes. You'll just have to guess when. Does he say that? He says, always. Always. I am with you always. And the reason, I mean, here is all this power from heaven and an earth, and he is sending us. And as he sends us, he says, I am with you. Now, it's hard to conjure up an excuse not to do what he's called us to do as a watchman. Because we have all the power we need through him and in him. And he is with us as he is right here at Independent Baptist Church. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
I thought it's a struggle here this Sunday. Daylight savings time. Wow. So that is the picture. So without doubt, there is a responsibility to respond. The responsibility to respond was seen in the Old Testament in Ezekiel, but it is very obvious in the New Testament for us, in the New Testament church, that we are also involved. Every one of us. That brings us to the second point. And the second point is the receiving. There's a responding, very necessary, but then there's a receiving. And I direct you to Acts, the book of Acts. Luke is being used of the Holy Spirit to write the early portions of the book of Acts. And we find here in the very first chapter something that reinforces what we read in Matthew chapter 28. And it's this. He says in verse 8, but ye, there's that ye again. How many of you are a part of that ye? May I see your hands? Some of you woke up. Ye, that's us. But ye shall receive power. And he declares, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That's another description for a watchman who is warning, a witness, and ye shall be witnesses. We're receiving the power. You see, the power comes from our God Almighty. Jesus declared, all power is given to me both in heaven and in earth. He says, I want you to go. I'm coming with you. And then he says, just so you understand, I'm giving the power to you through the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. There's a purpose. Once we are born again, once we have confessed Christ as our Savior and sought that cleansing from the shed blood at the cross of Calvary, there's a purpose. He wants each of us to be witnesses. And he's going to help us to understand that, this receiving, because he says, I want you to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not sure how long it takes to get to Jerusalem from Tawanda. If you were to fly, many hours. If you were to drive, good luck, you can't get there from here. We are removed from Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But he's not saying that we all have to go to Jerusalem. He is saying that Tawanda, Pennsylvania is our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem, right here. And I want you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. So we are to be witnessing for Christ right here, where we live, where we work, where we go to school. This is our, I want you to be witnesses because I've given you that power to do so. You don't understand. It's hard for me to talk. Don't pretend you're Moses. God has equipped you. Each and every one of us can be a witness. Do you realize that? I can be a power for Christ. Can you say that? I can be a power for Christ. Now say it with feeling this time. I can be. You can. Because of what the Holy Spirit has done in dwelling you, you now have that power to go and to speak and to share and to be that watchman, that witness for Christ. It's a burden that God has shared from the Old Testament because of the sin that came into lives. And here we are in the New Testament, and it's the same task. Only the Savior has come and accomplished what was needed. Amen. And so he says, I want you to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, and then he says, and in all Judea. Again, most of us would never get to Judea. But our Judea is the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. All of PA. And because some of you live close, how many of you live in New York? We'll pray for you. This is our Judea. All of this marvelous state. Traveling up from York, I just was so blessed this morning when we got off of I-180 and started up 220, it just became breathtaking. Not because of how Jeff was driving, but the view was beautiful. Absolutely breathtaking. And in the snow and the higher elevation. What a beautiful state. But there are souls all over this land. Souls that need to be reached. Souls that have not heard that Jesus saves. As a watchman, we need to be warning. Every one of us. And he makes it so very clear. Now, this is because we've received the power. I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem, in Towanda, and in the area of PA and so forth. And then he says, and in Samaria. Do you realize what that meant for the disciples, for the Jews? Who wants to go to Samaria? They detested Samaria. That was not a place to go. Now, again, Samaria way, way yonder. But our Samaria could be in the area. Now, I mentioned this. Some of you may be close to New York. That could be a Samaria. A place that some people don't enjoy going. When I get out of the state, I get very uncomfortable. I used to travel going up into New York and across Canada to my relatives in Michigan. I don't do that anymore. I got very nervous being out of the state. Well, then because of 9/11 and the declaration of war toward terrorism, there was always a risk that the borders could be closed. And Murphy's Law being Murphy's Law, I could see myself passing over the Peace Bridge up in Buffalo and getting into Canada, and they close the borders. Now, being a Baptist, I have about $10 in my wallet. How many hamburgers are you going to buy there? It's difficult. So, after President Bush declared war and the borders were closed temporarily during that horrendous time, we elected then to go across country, stay inside the United States and travel across to Ohio. We did that. One day we had packed our car, and Judy and I were going over to a wedding in Michigan and then to a Bible conference, and we were just excited, anticipating a blessing. I had been working for several days very hard with a project that the church had decided to do at Marsh Creek, and I volunteered to help in landscaping. And so I was exhausted, but we went over to our friends in Oil City and stayed there, and I counseled a young pastor and his wife for a few hours and went to bed, got up, started out over to the border and got into Ohio. And it was a little mist rain, but we got closer to Cleveland, and it had been a torrential downpour because all of the cars had vapor barriers being thrown up from the tires. It had really rained. Well, I had my cruise control on. I should not have done that. And just before we left on the trip, I bought two new tires. Being Baptist, you don't buy four. You only buy two at a time. Amen? And they put them on the front because it's a front-wheel drive. They have found that that is careless. No matter what drive you have, front wheel, rear wheel, all wheel, no wheel, you always put the new tires, the new tread on the back. Here we are in this, and we came to a curve. You know how many curves there are in Ohio? Yeah, we were in one of them. Inertia kind of caught us. This is back in 2005. Inertia kind of caught us, and all of a sudden, I was not driving anymore. I became a passenger because the car was just whipping around. Can you imagine all these cars and trucks on the turnpike? And we didn't touch one of them. I can't imagine the looks on all of them. And their brakes probably were doing the best they could to keep away from us, but here we were spinning around, and we came over to the berm, and we struck a boulder. Do you know how many boulders there are in Ohio? We found it. And we commenced to push it, and then we flipped over and on top of it, and the boulder began to push in the ceiling of the cabin, which was now our floor. We were upside down, strapped in this car that began to fill with smoke. And all of a sudden, I began to realize we were going to die. The car was going to fill with smoke and then flames, and then we were just simply going to go to heaven. Now, we had had these discussions earlier that, honey, when God calls me home, don't forget to do this and this and this and this. And it's like, even after God takes her home, I got a honey-do list I have to fulfill. And so I told her, I'm older. I'm older, 3 months. I'm older, so God will probably call me home. Don't you forget to do this and this and this. And I'm hanging upside down, holding on to the steering wheel. While I'm holding on to it, I have no idea, but I was holding on to the steering wheel, and I said to myself, isn't this ironic? We're going home to be with our Lord together. And then I saw feet running over. Truckers and men from all kinds of different cars stopped, and they came to our rescue. And it was almost like I wanted them to get away, stay away. I was going to heaven. But they reaped open my door, and we were able to get me out, but Judy was stuck, and she was on blood thinner, so they got her down and just left her right there till the first responders came. They life-flighted her down to Cleveland, and they took me to purgatory somewhere way, 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 and took me an hour by cab to get down there to see her. And the cab driver told me how much it was. It was almost $100 cab fee. And he wanted a tip on top of the $100. And I said, stay out of the rain or you get wet. The best tip I could come up with, being now a very poor Baptist. Needless to say, Ohio isn't a pleasant place for me. You might say Ohio is a Samaria for me. When I go to see relatives, I do not go through Ohio. I'll go down to Alabama. Then I'll go up over to Minnesota and then down through and across. I'm like a Jew. I don't want to be in Samaria. The Samaritans are there. All that to say this, in your life, there are places you don't want to go. There are your Samaritans or Samarians that may not be so far away. They may be in this area and you just don't want to go. It may be even someone you don't want to talk to. You've created your own Samaria. And God is saying this, I want you to be a witness for me. I'm giving you the power. I'm indwelling you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to do it in Towanda and all of this Commonwealth and beyond. But I also want you to be witnesses in those places you don't care to go. that souls might be warned, you being the watchman. And then he says, even unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, in this congregation, there may be some that God is working in already, preparing you to hear a call to be a missionary, to serve the Lord elsewhere, to share the gospel with souls that may never hear of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, but being a missionary. And so it is our marvelous task to be witnesses, to be watchmen in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part. We need to be yielded and sensitive to what God desires in each of us, in every one of us. That's the receiving. Now, you who are mathematicians understand we have come to now to that third point. And that is this, the requiring. You see, there is the responding and the receiving, and now there is the requiring. Take your Bibles and turn in that same book of Acts to the portion of which Paul was used of the Holy Spirit. And we come to a portion that is very, very powerful in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. Acts 20 and verse 31. Therefore, what's the next word? Watch. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now here's the testimony of Paul. He has understood while being put in a place that for the space of time that God allowed him to be there, he was a witness for his Savior night and day. And he witnessed to everyone. Sometimes we get in our calculated minds that I've got to do this, I've got to do this. Oh my, don't forget about that. Oh, wow, I forgot that. And we're not open. We're not receptive to the idea that God wants us to be very, very much aware that no matter where he puts us, no matter what's happening, it could be an opportunity to be a watchman and to warn, to be a witness for Christ. And so Paul is testifying to the fact. Now remember, in my life, as an example, I, for 3 years while I was there, night and day, to everyone, I shared the gospel. I watched and I warned. I watched and I warned. And I did it with tears. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think there's something that we in this time and age of the New Testament church I've almost become desensitized. It's something that we really need to be very much aware of. And that's a compassion that's so deep that it moves us to tears. Caring for others. Your pastor mentioned that in prayer. Caring. It's a part of what we ought to be in Christ. A watchman who cares. A watchman who weeps. Weeping before God in our prayer clauses before we go forward to share. Scripture says, weepingly going forth bearing precious seed. Weeping. We don't use a lot of tears when it comes to others. We have become so callous today, even we who are born again as saints of God. Things are happening around us and it just doesn't move us. I'm still overtaken by the fact that in our own state, close to 100 young souls are murdered every day. And we just go on like it's nothing. Abortion is a terrible thing, but Christianity has become accepting the fact that it's, what can we do? And there's no tears. There are souls walking down the street, working beside us, and sitting in the desk across the row in school. And we have no burden to see them come to Christ, and we aren't weeping like Paul wept with tears. We ought to be the watchman warning for Christ. How did he warn? Very quickly. Mark this in your word. This is what he did, and I'll close very quickly. He warned by actually referring to what it is said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. You can't get away from it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a part of the warning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I'm sure that Romans 6, 23 is definitely a part of that. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ. It's an exciting thing to see that this eternal life is a gift, and it comes through the Son of God. Then, obviously, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 is very much a part of this watchman that is warning. And we see it expressed because he declares, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. I've heard so many people say, I'm not ready yet. I've got things I've got to get right. I've got to get this done and that done before I can turn around and say I'm ready to be saved. You're never going to get ready to be saved. It simply takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because God declares, while you were yet a sinner, God in his marvelous love sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's what he is sharing here. And then I know Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 was there. And this is powerful, because he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Next powerful words. Thou shalt be what? Saved. And then I know Paul, being the watchman that he was, he concludes by this. He says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What a comfort that is. What a victory that is in Christ. As we choose to be watchmen, warning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it doesn't matter if I go to the Old Testament or New Testament, we see your burden for those that are sinful, the ones who have been wicked, caught up in their wickedness. You sent a prophet to warn them. And then for us in the New Testament, you equipped us with a command and with the filling of the Holy Spirit and with the testimony of Paul, that we might go forth day and night witnessing and warning all with tears. Father, I pray that you might help every soul that's here. Some might not be understanding what we have said because they've not trusted in Christ as their Savior. And somehow, some way, through the moving of your Spirit, as we have shared some verses from your word, I pray their hearts might be convicted. And some, Father, might be here as brothers and sisters in Christ, but their burden for their neighbor down the street or down the road, their burden for their companion that works side by side in the factory, their burden for a friend or fellow student has not moved them to tears. They need to be watchmen. Before I conclude, maybe you are here this morning and in your life there's been an awful lot going on and you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. If you were to die right now or before this day is over, you're not sure where you would go, whether it be heaven or hell. Yes, hell is real. Yes, the Bible teaches it very emphatically. And those that are without Christ shall be there. If you're in need of trusting in Him, and you're one of those that realizes you have sinned, and you have come short of the glory of God, and you would lift that hand, we'll pray especially for you. Brother Connor, would you pray for me? I'm not born again. I have never trusted in Christ, but I know I am destined to hell. I'm struggling with sin in my life, and I am in desperate state. Pray for me. Would you lift that hand and we might pray for you? Perhaps you're here as a born-again saint of God, but in your life, as you look at Paul and what he testified to, and in your life and what you're doing, there is a lack of realizing, responding, and receiving, and requiring that action to be a watchman, warning. The last time you had tears for a soul, you can't even remember. And you'd say with uplifted hand, Brother Connor, would you pray for me? I want to be a watchman. I want to be a witness for my Savior. He died for me. He has now charged me to be that witness. And I've not done it, and I haven't done it with tears. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up? We'll pray for you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you and you. Yes. Others who would say, I'm not what I ought to be for Christ. There are so many I could be sharing the plan of salvation with, and I have failed to this point. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and join these? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Father, you have seen the number of hands. You know the soul. I pray, Father, that you might help them. Through the Spirit, there might be a real addressing of the need to stand up and speak out. You can and will use them. You have equipped them. But now may their hearts and their wills be tender to your direction. Give them victories, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen.
Said earlier it was easy to sing the words, I surrender all. But as we leave this morning, we need to live those words. We need to be willing to surrender all to our Savior as His witness, as His watchman, be faithful in the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trust that each one of us will leave examining our own hearts as to how surrendered are we really to our Savior. Would you take just a moment and just bow your head and pray to yourself and to the Lord, between you and Him, what He would have you to do. are here to help you. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, or if you are here this morning and not sure that you are saved, seek us out before you leave this morning. We'd love to talk to you. Shall we stand? Father, we're grateful this morning for our time together, for the challenge from your word. May we truly examine our own hearts and surrender those areas of our lives that are not truly surrendered to you. Help us to be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.